If we could gather around a little closer so everybody can hear. Alrighty. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the celebration of life today, God's promise of life eternal. May the grace of the risen Lord be with you all. Alright, Ashlyn.
Dear God, you gave us eyes to see this beautiful Easter morning. You gave us a nose to smell the pretty flowers. You gave us ears to listen to your word. Thank you, Lord. Please help everyone in Syria, as Jesus once said, they know not what they do. If Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross for us, sin would conquer the world, but thanks to him, miracles happen every day. Like in the Bible, he turned water into wine, bad into good. Remember, we only have a limited time here, and we have eternity in heaven. Amen.
We're reading Job 19, 1 through 29. Then Job replied, "How long will you torment me and crush me with the words? 10 times now you have reapproached me shamelessly, you attack me. If it is true that I have gone astray, my error remains my concern alone. If indeed you would exalt yourselves above me and use my humiliation against me, then know that God has wronged me and drawn his net around me. Though I cry violence, I get no response. Though I call for help, there is no justice. He has blocked my way so I cannot pass. He has shrouded my paths in darkness. He has stripped me of my honor and removed my crown from my head. He tears me down on every side till I am gone. He uproots my hope like a tree. His anger burns against me. He counts me among his enemies. His troops advance in force. They build a siege ramp against me and encamp around me, camp around my tent. He has alienated my family from me. My acquaintances are completely estranged from me. My relatives have gone away. My closest friends have forgotten me.
My guests and my female servants count me a foreigner. They took me on as a stranger. I summon my servant, but he does not answer, though I beg him with my own mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife. I am loathsome to my own family. Even the little boys scorn me. When I appear, they ridicule me. All my intimate friends detest me. Those I love have turned against me. I'm nothing but skin and bones. I have escaped only by the skin of my teeth. Have pity on me, my friends. Have pity, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you pursue me as God does? Will you ever get enough of my flesh? Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved on a rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. If you say, how we will hound him, since the root of the trouble lies in him. You should fear the sword yourselves, for wrath you will bring punishment by the sword, and then you will know that there is judgment.
Y'all feel free to sing along if you know the words.
Oh, you washed in the blood of the Lamb.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go out and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where he laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. They returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him, he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. They will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands in sick people, and they will get well.
After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then his disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
Good morning. Good morning. We are here on this day of resurrection as a celebration, and welcome to Bethel Presbyterian Church. For those who are visiting with us this morning, we welcome you with open arms. And for our members, it's good to see your faces so bright and early in the morning. So thank you for coming. And as the service concludes this morning, we will bless the food so you can go straight to the church and enjoy in fellowship, and then the charge will release you, and that'll be the conclusion of the service when we get to that point. So I'll kind of keep you informed of where we are. But again, today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Savior. Welcome one and all to this beautiful morning in this beautiful place. I want you to take just a moment this morning to let this day soak in. Absorb the grandeur of the skies, the trees, the running streams, and of course, the sunrise. Created by an all-powerful God, who created us to live and dwell within this masterpiece that He created. This day represents God's majesty and its glimpse into what's to come. Today, sunrise also represents a new beginning for each one of us and our lives together here and eternal. This morning, we not only celebrate Jesus Christ and His ascension into heaven, we celebrate the undisputed proof of our eternal life together. I want to begin this morning with a reminder of the pain and suffering endured at the crucifixion. I also want to tell you today that the spikes were not what held Jesus to the cross. It was love. Love for each one of us that kept Him there. I chose this morning's scriptures as they remind us of the struggles of everyday life, and they certainly are a representation of our lives today. In Job this morning, we learned of his trials and tribulations, but more importantly, we learned about his faith. We find Job responding to Bildad and explaining his plight. He shares his struggles. He shares his pain. He shares his frustrations. But at the very end of his faith, or at the very end is his faith. His faith in God is evident and it's bold. Job says these words, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen. I know that my Redeemer lives, and He shall reign forever. He will stand last on earth, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know in my own flesh, I shall see Him again." In this statement, Job prophesies the birth, life, death, and resurrection of our Redeemer. In Mark, we see this again. In the heartbreaking journey of Mary to the tomb and the confusion of the disciples after they had endured the death of their beloved Jesus. Mary begins her day, as many of us would, in similar circumstances by going to the grave to anoint and pray over the body of the one lost. What Mary finds there brings me to my message this morning. In 1 Corinthians, we are taught that if only in this life we have hope in Jesus Christ. When Mary arrives, she finds the stone rolled away and the tomb empty. "How can this be?" she likely says. "Where is Jesus?" she likely asked. I'm not a betting man, but however, I would bet that she asked about the stone as well. How did it move? Or more importantly, who moved it? That's my question too. Who moved the stone? Why is it rolled from the tomb? Can you agree with me this morning that we serve an all-powerful God? That nothing is impossible with God in our life? And that God reigns all over all and everything? If we believe this, why was the stone rolled away? Did Jesus need the stone to be rolled away to walk out? I want you to think about that stone and what it represents. I believe the stone represents three glorious things: the almighty power of Jesus Christ, the undisputed proof that we serve a risen Lord. But the most important reason, and the very point of this message this morning, is that it represents an invitation. That's right. I said invitation. You heard me correctly. The stone removed from the opening of the tomb represents God's invitation. If the stone were not removed when Mary arrived that morning, we would have no resurrection. We would simply have a tomb occupied by a body. As sure as I'm standing here listening to the birds singing and watching the sunrise, Jesus did not need the stone rolled away to come out. Whatever the nature of his resurrected body, he needed no door, no window, no hole, no portal, no access at all. The open tomb was not his means of exit. The point is simply this: the open tomb is the means of his invitation. The open tomb is for anyone who desires a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the means by which we access our Savior. Remember in Mark, we learn that the open tomb allowed Mary and Peter and John in. They saw where Jesus was or had been. They saw that he was no longer there. And they saw the remnants of the crucifixion. Perhaps the most important thing about the stone and its place that morning is that God opened the access to our eternal life through the resurrection of Christ. As the stone lay aside the opening in Christ's tomb, it's a place of rest, signifies that the invitation to eternal life is eternal. The stone served a purpose when Jesus was buried. It restricted access to him for multiple reasons. However, Jesus would not stand for that. The empty tomb is the undisputable evidence that Christ arose and he lives. He lives in me. He lives in each of you. And he lives in anyone desiring a relationship with him. The empty tomb exposed by the stone is absolute proof of our living Savior. The resurrection of Jesus Christ caused everyone to run and tell any and all who listened to the remarkable news. So I ask this day, how should the resurrection affect each of you? As Christians, we are people of faith. Who should we be telling? Who should we tell about the glorious news of the resurrection? As people who share a relationship with Jesus, we should share the joy of our faith with others every day of our lives. The remarkable news of Jesus' resurrection is their hope. It's our hope. Hope that wrongs will be made right, pain will be relieved, tears will shed no more, and hope that all our sins will be cast aside and forgiven. In the resurrection comes the hope that we can share joy, we can share peace, we can share an assurance and security in the midst of our current struggles. Hope that Christ will return and all who believe in him will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. This type of hope is described in Scripture as a blessed hope. Blessed hope is the hope that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and that the kingdom of God will reign and triumph. Hope is not formed or founded in our own ability, or our goodness, or in our physical strength. Hope is instilled in us by the resurrection of our Christ Jesus. My hope this morning is in Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. My prayer this morning is that we never lose focus on Him, and we may never drown in despair, as we must always remember His love that held Him to the cross and His triumph over death. As we depart this morning and travel to the church to enjoy fellowship, remember these words to a familiar old hymn. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins away. Risen, He justified freely and forever. One day He is coming. What a glorious and beautiful day that will be. In closing, the stone was set aside not for our Lord to be set free. The stone was set aside as an invitation for us to come in so that He may set us free. Jesus Christ lives. He lives in me. He lives in you. Rejoice and share this news this day, this beautiful day, this Easter day, this sunrise. Jesus Christ faced death, conquered it for each one of us, so that we will live together eternally. Amen.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. They tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Oh, the land of a cloudless day. Oh, the land of an uncloudy sky. They tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. They tell me of that land far away, where the tree of life's in eternal bloom that uncloudy day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of an uncloudy sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Oh, they tell me of the King and His beauty there. They tell me that my eyes shall behold, where He sits on a throne that is whiter than snow, in a city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless days. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day.
And if you you look behind you, there's not a cloud in the sky. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, Father Almighty, thank you for this day and thank you for the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. May we humble ourselves to walk in your ministry and may we be examples of your love and grace. Lord, as we leave this place, I ask your blessing for safe travels to all who have come and spent this morning with us. Lord, as we share in fellowship and friendship in a few brief moments, help us to remember your many blessings. Lord, bless the hands that have prepared this meal and the food to the nourishment of our bodies and the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, grant us wisdom in our words, our deeds, and actions, and let those be to thine service. All these things we ask in Jesus' name, our Lord and risen Savior. Amen. For those of you who are seated, if you'll stand for the charge and benediction, this will conclude our service, and we will continue our fellowship and friendship in the church as you make your way over there. Now go from this place in peace, in hope, and in faith. Take with you the knowledge that God loves you for who you are, not shiny and new or perfect and whole, but open and honest and willing to follow. Share that part of yourselves with others, and you will discover the power of the resurrected Christ. Go and make firm the foot of one who has stumbled. The blind see the majestic beauty of our Lord's creation. Remember the love of Jesus Christ goes with you and with you and within you, now and forever. In the name of the Father's love, the Son's peace, and the Spirit's promise. God be with you all. Amen.